By many accounts, President Trump has caved on China by putting his threat of tariffs on hold in return mostly for vague Chinese promises about buying more American stuff. Dan Premack, business editor, Axios from Southborough, Massachusetts, Boston area. Of course, you do have some on the conservative side, Tea Party website, applauding President Trump for great victories, but Dan, you and many others don't see it that way.
No, it's not a victory in the sense of at least what Trump laid out and what Trump wanted. I mean, the top line, it's possible that the trade deficit with China will get cut a bit. And Trump kind of views trade deficits like scoreboards, even though they really aren't. But on some of the really big things, for example, theft of intellectual property, the requirement that a U.S. company, tech company, doing business in China has to create a joint venture with a Chinese tech company, again, which a lot of people think leads to trade secret theft, that stuff seems to be off the table.
Is it off the table because of President Trump's seemingly singular focus, which you already alluded to, on just the trade gap, and that's it?
That's part of it. A bigger part is Trump didn't really have a great negotiating hand here. He didn't really have the leverage for two reasons. One, remember, the president of China just got reelected essentially to a lifetime term. He can, you know, he doesn't have a base or voters he has to deal with. Trump does. There's also a debt issue here. China holds a lot of U.S. debt, and because of the tax cut, the U.S. government is going to continue to issue lots more debt. There's one real buyer for that. That's China. China happens to hold a lot more cards here.
Although I have interviewed a few people who say that point is overstressed. But well, let's assume that you're correct in all those counts. In a sense, then, Donald J. Trump candidate was really playing fast and easy, criticizing previous presidents for not being hard negotiators, when in fact those are the conditions, that's the hand that the U.S. presidency is dealt.
It's largely the hand the U.S. presidency is dealt. You've also got a situation where there's a major disagreement within the White House itself. You have some folks who are kind of China hawks, Peter Navarro, Robert Lighthizer, the U.S. trade rep. They really are kind of the nationalists go with China folks in there, but on the other hand, you have folks like Larry Kudlow, the new National Economic Advisor. You have someone like Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary. They're much more free traders, and so you have a bit of a dichotomy within the White House, too, and it appears that Mnuchin ultimately was able to kind of elbow Navarro and Lighthizer out a bit when it came to negotiations.
I mean, that's kind of interesting, because some could argue on the defense diplomatic side, President Trump now has pretty much an array of hawks, but when it comes to the trade side, he's got a mixture still.
He does have a mixture, and one thing that's interesting is Gary Cohen, who was his original National Economic Advisor, former Goldman Sachs president, very big free trade guy, when he left earlier this year, it was perceived that one of the reasons he left was that he had lost the tariff battle with Trump, specifically on steel and aluminum, but also with China. But the guy who replaced him, Larry Kudlow, seems to have succeeded and kind of succeeded where Cohen failed, but they both have the same objective.
And finally, we haven't mentioned North Korea, but there is another variable here.
Absolutely. Look, inarguably, I think when folks look back at this episode, you know, in a couple of years, and historians look back, perhaps the idea of negotiating with North Korea over nuclear weapons and negotiating with China over trade at the exact same time was a poor idea. They don't go well together for the United States. There's a sense that we have to give up stuff to China right now in order to make North Korean negotiations go better, that from a pure trade negotiation standpoint, we wouldn't have to do if we were doing it at a different time.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for joining us, Dan.
Thank you.
And Dan Premack, business editor, Axios, live from the Boston area.